Hello, everyone. Welcome to Camilo's Radio Hour here on Radio Laurier. It is 10:02 here on the Wednesday night. I hope everyone's having a good week and they're taking it easy. This week's report, the first day of spring was on Sunday, and the weather has been reflecting a warmer climate. It's been pretty good for the past 3 days. Much better since Friday, although I'm not sure the bad weather really bothered anyone then. Because a lot of people were probably too drunk or happy to be affected by the rain. From what I know, there aren't many storms coming our way, and winter may actually be over. We might have entered a new stage of the year, and thanks to the great equinox, we're not going to experience so much cold weather. But keep an eye on the Weather Channel, because you shouldn't really take my word for it. There are better sources to get this information from. I'm only hopeful. I'm only wishfully hopefully that it's that the worst has passed. As for school, everybody has papers and discussions and examinations around this time of year, and it's very demanding. And you're expected to know everything that was discussed in class as if you knew it internally, but you don't. And there's no possible way to internalize material from 5 classes in 3 months, not by doing it the traditional way of going through the lecture, taking notes and getting good marks. That's not enough for what is being asked of you. There's a second layer to all of this, which is being able to explain this content with your own words, to reflect understanding of these different concepts. And this part is so critical. It's the point of education, but it's genuinely a labor to accomplish. But by the end, you want to have this macro picture of the subject, and if you really understand it, then you should genuinely be able to write an essay that explains why these subjects exist the way they do. And this is what this whole last few weeks is all about, and I wish everyone the best during this period, because it is going to take a lot for us regular people to fully explain a subject with our own words. But we'll do our best, and I think that people have gone through this for many years, and we're just the next in line for this. We're just the next generation to pick up this practice, and we're going to be able to do this. I want to be, hopefully that's going to give you some motivation to do your best and not get so caught up on getting perfect marks. What's important is that we go through this part of the year, and at some point we'll be able to learn something from this, and we'll be better people. I hope that tonight you're up for another dive into the world of Bob Dylan. We're going to be looking at another aspect of his art, informing you more about Bob Dylan, who he is, what he did, and understand why he's considered to be the best singer-songwriter of modern history. The show is integrated with a hand-picked song selections that will give you an immersive experience into the concepts we will be discussing. I invite you to follow along, empty your mind, and listen graciously tonight. So to continue the episode, let us begin with Bob Dylan, Song of the Week. To kind of give you an introduction to what this episode is going to be about, It's going to be an album study. So far, we've looked at different aspects of Bob Dylan's life. We've looked at his history, what he did. We've looked at his inspirations, how he came about, how he came to write the songs that he did. But tonight, we're going to look in particular to one of his albums. Time Out of Mind was Bob Dylan's 30th album release, and it followed a period of generally unsuccessful albums that had been largely forgotten. Time Out of Mind was released in 1997, and the followers of this series will know that it was a comeback album for Dylan, and it won him 3 Grammys. It was also his last release of the 20th century, and launched him into a new phase that unfolded in 3 albums. Time Out of Mind, Love and Theft, and the aforementioned Modern Times that we've briefly gone over and mentioned in past episodes. And these albums were received pretty well. They are often viewed upon as some of his greatest creations. They're very well polished and composed. I want to present to you a run-through of this album and identify some key themes and some key tracks that stand out in this album. And hopefully by the end of this, you will have a sort of perspective on how to approach this album, what to be on the lookout for, and maybe that way you'll be able to enjoy it better. Well, Time Out of Mind kicks off with Lovesick. And I invite you to listen to this selection, an absolute tone setter. It sets the stage for an album that will be centered around regret. The beauty of this opening track is its ability to be so empty and also be one of the most positive songs on the track, on the record. It sets the mood for the downward spiral that's going to start from here. And as per usual, this song is delivered with Bob Dylan's trademark surreal lyrics. Please enjoy an introductory to Time Out of Mind. So Time Out of Mind, it's an interesting title for the album, because it's brings a lot of thoughts to mind. What does that even mean for time to be out of mind? Anything that involves the mind is already ambiguous, because you can't really put your finger on what the mind is. Anything out of mind is kind of like an out of world experience. And time is a very common experience, a very worldly experience. So you're taking something that's that is quite common, that you're well aware of, it's not that complicated. Things happen, time continues. That's kind of how everything works. But then this time that is out of mind instantly kind of raises eyebrows. What kind of time could be so different that it's not really possible to wrap around with your mind? Is kind of the feeling that I'm getting from this album. So just by hearing the title track, or perhaps seeing the album record in stores, hearing of its release, you get the idea that Dylan is making a profound statement with this album. And it's true. That first song was it's incomparable to many other tracks, to especially popular music. It's not a popular song. It's blues. It's supposed to be lonely. It's supposed to be a somber experience. So let's bring attention back to time out of mind and what this means. So time out of mind is actually an idiom. It's a phrase. It's an expression. So people use that to have used that to refer to something specific. It wasn't Bob Dylan creation. And it's usually described as time immemorial, which doesn't mean anything to me either. Time immemorial is time out of mind. They are interchangeable. They mean the same thing. So you can use them both, one another, together, in substitution, side by side. Whether this is its usage or not, it doesn't really clarify what the phrase means in the first place. So I can't go along with this information alone. So I had to kind of dig past this initial definition of the word. Time out of mind. What I got to was that it refers to ancient times, a time long before anyone would be able to remember, a very long time ago. So time out of mind is time out of memory, time immemorial. So there it makes sense, immemorial time. The phrase was first used in legal context. The earlier instance of the idiom was found on Rolls of Parliament, a British Parliament manuscript. Time out of mind, or time immemorial, since they're anywhere interchangeable, were used to describe the time before Richard I, who reigned, who was king during the 12th century of the Common Era. So that was the distinct benchmark for legal memory. Anything that happened before that was time out of mind, time immemorial. It was just ancient. Nobody was keeping track of it. There was no order. And then Richard I came along and kind of set the stage, or set the script for a new era of civilization. So by the 19th century, it was used, which was the year's 1800s. This phrase was used in conversation often, but it has since disappeared from conversation. And nowadays, upon hearing it, there's the sense of mystique to it that you don't really know what it stands for. And so it creates, I think it creates an idea of an out-of-mind experience, out-of-body experience. So what is Bob Dylan talking about when he labeled his album Time Out of Mind? What ancient memory is he bringing to surface that he wants the listeners to recall? Is it Bob Dylan himself? He was quite old. He hit his heyday in the 60s, which was 30 years before the release of Time Out of Mind. Dylan hadn't really made a breakthrough for a few years and was fading into legend status. So is this what the title is alluding to? That he is a forgotten artist who comes from a time out of mind and is making a return to the culture? This album is, however, not about Dylan's culture, Dylan's character, as other albums have been. Self-Portrait, for example, is a glimpse of how Bob Dylan maybe perceives himself. But this album is
not a self-portrait. Dylan, with this album, is presenting his disillusion with the world. As the first song explains, he's sick of love. He wish he'd never have met it. From that point in the album, continues into more statements of how empty he is and how he wishes he didn't have to do this anymore. And so I want to play for you now the next song of the album that continues to explain Dylan's disillusion and how sick he is of everything. So I now play for you Dirt Road Blues. Please enjoy the selection. So Time Out of Mind was an album that reinvented Bob Dylan as a wise and tormented man, seemingly overnight. Because the 90s had been a very dry period for Dylan, and he had gotten over the Christianity phase that he developed in the 80s. So this was a new step into, this was just a change in pace and career. And his idea with Time Out of Mind was to create a very bluesy, ragged recording, similar to the works of blues artists like Charlie Patton and Little Walker. And the result was an album that deals with the five stages of grief and a man describing rock bottom misery. So the songs on this album are centered on feelings of loss, of mundanity, and the lust for a fruitful life. And the man in the album is really regretful and is sick of life. And as the album continues, the man expresses his misery in different ways. There's nothing but regret, the wishful feeling that life was better before he lived it. And the past song that we listened to, Dylan describes that he's walking down a road until everything becomes the same. Or he's asking the listener to walk down that dirt road until everything becomes the same. And he repeats this several times. So there's the sense that he wants to numb the experience of life, either because he's feeling so much pain or because he doesn't quite see the point of doing anything else other than making it mundane. All good things don't really seem to work out for him, so why should he strive for good things in the first place? And so this next song that I want to play for you is called Trying to Get to Heaven. And this one is describing feelings of loss, like several songs on the album. It appears to be centered around a relationship, a woman, but it's also about trying to get to heaven. And heaven is often looked as this place of peace, of eternal peace. And so you see Bob Dylan really fighting for, or wishing that he could sort of get to a state of peace, but there's too many things in the way. He doesn't think he has a good shot at it. So I invite you to enjoy this song, or rather to be affected by it. Please enjoy this selection. So one of the breakout singles of this track is Not Dark Yet. So this song has been played on the show before, and it is one of the most recognized songs from this album. And Not Dark Yet can be seen as the climax of this album. So the song repeats and creates the sensation of a dreamlike state, soaring high above the clouds, but with a sense of dread. And the album has been building up to this point as he goes from being lovesick to trying to numb the pain to the last song we heard, where he says, when you think you've lost everything, but you find that you can always lose a little more. And to a few other songs following that, where he talks about doing so many things, did so many things and never did intend to do. I just don't know what to do. I was all right until I fell in love with you. We hit the center point of Time Out of Mind. And Not Dark Yet starts with the lines, shadows are falling, and I've been here all day. It's too hard to scream, and time is running away. And that time is running away part brings the idea that whatever time he has left is whatever he's been trying to get at doesn't really seem to have much time left to get to it. Kind of brings this idea that we're coming closer to the end. So what is this end? As Dylan explains what it's like to hit rock bottom through this album, you can kind of see it that what Dylan is approaching here in this song is rock bottom. He is getting pretty close to it. And so the song repeats the chorus. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. And what he's basically saying is he's not completely miserable. This isn't the absolute end, but it's getting there. He's getting close. And some of the other lines in the song kind of give an insight to why this is the case. He talks about how he feels so empty, he doesn't even know what it was that I came here to get away from. So he's disassociated himself from any particular goal. And lovesick, he was sick, and he was tired, and he wanted out. In Dirt Road Blues, he's walking down that dirt road until everything becomes the same. In trying to get to heaven, he realizes a bit just how much he wants to go back to peace. But not dark yet. He's doesn't even know what it is that he came here to get away from. He's kind of lost sight of what he's working towards. He says, I don't see why I should even care. I feel like my soul has turned into steel. His whole experience about life no longer seems to matter. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. He also so he's lost, and he's right. There's he doesn't know exactly where to go to. And this burden that he carries, he's not even sure what it is, but sometimes the burden is more sometimes my burden is more than I can wear. It's really weighing on him. There's so much that's expected from him, but he's so lost, he doesn't think he'll ever he doesn't think he can overcome this. But it's also important to point out that he says it's not dark yet. There's still a way out. Whether it's going to get worse or not, Dylan doesn't seem to be very optimistic about it, but it's an interesting point to focus on. There's still some hope in this man that what he's facing right now is not the worst that he could be facing. I invite you to listen to Not Dark Yet. Please enjoy the selection. So the next song is another standout single from this album that has been covered by Billy Joel almost immediately after Bob Dylan released his original and has subsequently been covered by Neil Diamond and most famously by Adele, who turned it into an international standard when she released it in her 2008 debut album. And that song I've played on the show before. It's the most recent cover of a Bob Dylan song that has made a breakthrough in society. And her version of it really takes it to like an orchestral level. It's beautiful. And Adele has a great voice and really projects loudly. And you'll see as you've been experiencing the records on this track and Bob Dylan's style, it's almost soft, you could say. It's very frail. So he does put a lot of emotion into his music. But it's the type of music that you would listen to alone, lonely, in a lonely night, or on the road. Whereas Adele's cover, it's something to sing on a stage. It's something to fill an auditorium, an arena. It just has so much presence that it takes the song to like a new level, where Bob Dylan never could. However, his original, it's still the same lyrics as the Adele version. And it's the lyrics that kind of call to your attention. And it's also the fact that the song, it's piano-based. And Dylan's not much of a pianist, but he pushes that into this track. And so it's just memorable for that reason. And this is it's interesting because to make you feel my love, I mean, that's such a turnaround from being lovesick. So what I'm sensing is that Dylan, not dark yet. I mean, that was bottom. That was rock bottom. I mean, he could see himself just going down, down, and not envisioning like a way out. He knows that he wasn't at rock bottom, but that's where he thought he was gonna end up. That's where he thought he was going. But by this next song, it's kind of like he's taking a sort of new position. Maybe he's doing a sort of, maybe he's climbing back up. It's still a song about regret. It's still a song about the fact that he was unable to make someone feel his love. I mean, it's still a song that's reminiscing about a failed relationship. But it might have a more positive kind of swing to it. I invite you to listen to Make You Feel My Love, the original by Bob Dylan. Please enjoy the selection. So I think that song confirmed what I was trying to get at when I was explaining how it's a more positive perspective. It's kind of like Dylan is building himself back up because he went from the rock bottom of seeing no potential future in his future to being having no doubt in his mind where you belong, knowing that he could offer you my love, that I could hold you for a million years, and there's nothing I wouldn't do to make you feel my love. So all of a sudden he's got this sense of purpose, and maybe that's kind of taken him away from this downward spiral of misery. What's interesting is that this brings us to the end of the show. There's no more time for you and I. Our commons has come to an end. And as I leave you for this night, I'm going to leave you with, I'm going to close off with the last track of this album, Highlands, an extensive 17 long minute recording that in some way concludes Dylan's search, transformation of through this album, where he basically describes the Highlands, the place you'll go when there's nothing left to do. And it's Dylan's idea of peace. So maybe at this point in the album, this man is finally able to conceptualize where he wants to go. And he wants to go to these Highlands. And whether or not he actually decides to go there, the extensiveness of the song, the 17 minutes of the recording, are notable for emphasizing the Dylan's refusal to end the album. He simply doesn't want it to end. Maybe he simply doesn't want to end this moment. Maybe his moment of finally perceiving a direction in his life is too great to let go, and so he drags on for as long as he can. And so to escape the feelings that came about with Lovesick, he ventures on further and further with this idea of the Highlands. That's what I think the album ends off with. But I leave it up to you. I invite you to listen to Time Out of Mind on your own time. But, as it were, time has been spent. And I have no more of it for you. That's the episode for this week. I hope you had some chance to appreciate some of the miserable tracks on the of this album delivered here tonight on the Radio Hour, and you've learned something about Time Out of Mind, maybe even has an idea of what the album is all about. I appreciate all the listeners and everyone listening from home. I hope you tune in again soon. And I'll turn on the tracks and silence the mic. I wish you all a good night. Thank you very much.